Krishna Book, Canto 3, Vrindavana Kumar, Chapter 14, Scene 3, Brahma's Prayers, Part 3. Lord Brahma presented himself to Lord Krishna as the most presumptuous living creature because he wanted to examine the wonder of Krishna's personal power. Brahma stole the boys and calves of the Lord in order to see how the Lord would recover them. After his maneuver, Lord Brahma admitted that his attempt was most presumptuous, for he was attempting to test his own energy before the person of original energy. Coming to his senses, Lord Brahma saw that although he was a very powerful living creature in the estimation of all other living creatures within this material world, in comparison to the power and energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahma's power was nothing. Scientists of this material world have discovered wonders such as atomic weapons, and when tested in a city or an insignificant place on this planet, such powerful weapons create so-called havoc. But if the atomic weapons are tested on the Sun planet, what is their significance? They are insignificant there. Similarly, Lord Brahma stealing the calves and boys from Sri Krishna may be a wonderful display of mystic power, but when Sri Krishna exhibited his own expansive power into so many calves and boys and maintained them without effort, Lord Brahma could understand that his own power was insignificant. Lord Brahma addressed Lord Krishna as Achyuta because the Lord is never forgetful of even a little service rendered by his devotee. Krishna is so kind and affectionate towards his devotees that a little service by them is accepted by Krishna as a great deal. Brahma has certainly rendered much service to the Lord. As the Supreme Personality in charge of this particular universe, Lord Brahma is without a doubt a faithful servant of Krishna. Therefore, Brahma could appease Lord Krishna. Brahma asked that the Lord understand him as a subordinate servant whose little mistake and impudence might be excused. Brahma admitted that he was puffed up by his powerful position as being Lord Brahma. Because Brahma is the qualitative incarnation of the mode of passion within this material world, this was natural for him, and therefore Brahma committed the mistake. But after all, Lord Krishna would kindly take compassion upon his subordinate and excuse him for his gross mistake. Lord Brahma realized his actual position. He is certainly the supreme teacher of this universe, in charge of the production of material nature, consisting of complete material elements, false ego, sky, air, fire, water, and earth. Such a universe may be gigantic, but it can be measured just as we measure our own body as 7 cubits. Generally, everyone's personal bodily measurement is calculated to be 7 cubits of one's hand. This particular universe may appear as a very gigantic body, but it is nothing but the measurement of 7 cubits for Lord Brahma. Aside from this universe, there are unlimited other universes which are outside the jurisdiction of this particular Lord Brahma. And just as innumerable atomic infinitesimal fragments pass through the holes of a screened window, so millions and trillions of universes in their seedling form are coming out from the bodily pores of Mahavishnu. And that Mahavishnu is but a part of the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. Under these circumstances, although Lord Brahma is the supreme creature within this universe, what is his importance in the presence of Lord Krishna? Lord Brahma therefore compared himself to a little child within the womb of its mother. If the child within the womb plays with its hands and legs, and while playing, touches the body of the mother, is the mother offended with the child? Of course not. Similarly, Lord Brahma may be a very great personality, and yet not only Lord Brahma, but everything that be is existing within the womb of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's energy is all-pervading. There is no place in this creation where it is not acting. Everything is existing within the energy of the Lord. So the Brahma of this universe, or the Brahmas of the many other millions and trillions of universes, are existing within the energy of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is considered to be the mother, and everything existing within the womb of the mother is considered to be the child. And the good mother is never offended with the child, even if it touches the body of the mother by kicking its legs. Lord Brahma then admitted that his birth was from the lotus flower, which blossomed from the navel of Narayana after the dissolution of the three worlds, or three planetary systems known as Bhurloka, Bhuvarloka, Swarloka. The universe is divided into three divisions, namely Swarga, Martya, Patala. These planetary systems are merged into water at the time of dissolution. At that time, Narayana, the plenary portion of Krishna, lies down on the water, and gradually a lotus stem grows from his navel. And from that lotus flower, Lord Brahma is born. Therefore, it is naturally concluded that the mother of Lord Brahma is Narayana. And because the Lord is the resting place of all the living entities, after the dissolution of the universe, he is called Narayana. The word Nara means the aggregate total of all living entities, and Ayana means resting place. The form of Gavodakashayi Vishnu is called Narayana because he rests himself on that water. In addition, he is the resting place of all living creatures. And besides that, Narayana is also present in everyone's heart, as it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. In that sense also, he is Narayana, as Ayana means the source of knowledge, as well as the resting place. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that remembrance of the living entity is due to the presence of Supersoul within the heart. After changing the body, a living creature forgets everything of his or her past life. But because Narayana, the Supersoul, is present within everyone's heart, he or she is reminded by that Narayana to act according to one's past desire. Lord Brahma wanted to prove that Krishna is the original Narayana, and that Krishna is the source of Narayana, and that Narayana is not an exhibition of the external energy, Maya, but Narayana is an expansion of spiritual energy. The activities of the external energy or Maya are exhibited after the creation of this cosmic world, and the original spiritual energy of Narayana was acting before the creation. And so, the expansions of Narayana from Krishna to Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, from Garbhodakashayi Vishnu to Kshirodakashayi Vishnu, and from Kshirodakashayi Vishnu to everyone's heart are manifestations of Krishna's spiritual energy. They are not conducted by the material energy, and therefore they are not temporary. Anything conducted by the material energy is temporary, but everything executed by the spiritual energy is eternal. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Krishna book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.